B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Tezvav. We're going to start 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Tez Yud Daled Amud Beis from the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Omar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says, Maisa, there was an incident betinoikas sheyorodo lemalu ismayim min ha'ayon, that there was this girl, tinoikas is a young girl, who went to fill some water from the well, from the spring. V'nensa, and some man took advantage of her, a boy, and had relations with her and did znus with her by force. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We don't know the nature of this person. If this person is somebody who would have been posel l'kohuna, then she's not allowed to marry a kohen. If he's somebody who's kosher, then she can marry a kohen. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it depends. Im roiv anshei ha'ir, if the majority of the people living in that city are Masiyin l'kohuna, are kosher l'kohuna, harizu tinasi l'kohuna, then we assume that the person that violated her, the person that was ma'anis her, was a kosher, and therefore she is kosher l'kohuna. Says the Gemara, Omar le Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava said to Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri de Omar Kaman. Rava is taking us back to a Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And we saw in the Mishnayos on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that there was a machlekes always between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, whether we rely on a status quo, do we rely on kashrus, do we not rely on kashrus, do we follow Roiv, do we not follow Roiv. That was discussed on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Ikar Rabban Gamliel. So to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omar Kaman, who did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri follow? If he followed Rabbi Gamliel, who says that we can rely on her kashrus, on her status quo, but we saw over there in the Gemara that afilu b'roiv psulim, nami machshir, that Rabbi Gamliel, who says that we can rely on her chazaka, that she's kosher, is even if the majority are posel. Ikar Rabbi Yeshua, however, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we do not say that the status she had of being kosher l'kohuna remains and she loses her status quo, afilu b'roiv k'sheirim nami posel. It's posel even if the majority are kosher. That's what we saw from Rish Lakish on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So Rav is now asking Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that the status of this girl is dependent on the majority, seems not to be following not Rabbi Gamliel and not Rabbi Yeshua. Omale, Rav Nachman answered back to Rav, Hachi Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda Omar Rav said as follows, that the truth is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah is following Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua says that we do not rely on the chazaka, even if there's a majority of ksherim. So how can the Mishnah here say that if there's a majority of ksherim, then she's kosher? Over here is different. Over here, there is a double majority. There's two sets of people that somebody from either of them could have been the one that violated her. And in both cases, in both groups, the majority are kosher. When you have a double majority, a double roiv called trei rubi, two roivs, then even Rabbi Shua agrees that she has her chazaka, her status quo of being kosher. Rav Yehuda Marav says, "Bikroinus shel Tzipuri hoya maisa." This incident in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yosi narrated and told us that of this girl actually happened with the wagons that were coming to Tzipuri. That means, besides for the people in Tzipuri, that most of them were kosher, but there were wagons of people who were coming to the sales, were coming to they were coming to the place of Tzipuri on the Yom Hashuk, and there were most of the people in these wagons coming to Tzipuri with kosher, and it could be that the person who violated her came from those wagons, and the majority, they're also kosher. So you've got the majority of the townspeople and the majority of the people who came from out of town, and both of them, the both majorities are kosher, then Rabbi Shua says, or agrees that he's kosher. And that is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds. That is how Rav Nachman explained this. Ukter Rav Ami, the Omer of Ami, Rav Ami says, "Vahu that when is she ksheira? Shehoisa siyo shel bnei adam ksheira meiveres l'sham. If a group of people who they are kosher, they passed by at that time, and then you've got a double kosher, also the roiv of this group, and also the roiv in the city, then we can rely on her chazaka that she's kosher. Says the Gemara, Ukadu Rabbi Yannai, we find this, that Rabbi Yannai also said that when there's a double roiv, that she's kosher, Omar Rabbi Yannai, that the case of the Mishnah is talking about Niv'eles, that the beer was Bekroinus, that if she was Niv'eles in these wagons, Kshera Lukahuna, then she's kosher Lukahuna. Asks the Gemara, Bikronois Solka Daitach? What, you're suggesting that if the incident itself happened Bikronois in these wagons, then she's kosher, and it seems that that's why she's kosher, because the incident happened in these wagons? That why would the place of the incident make a difference? Say, it doesn't really make sense that. Elo, what Rabbi Yannai meant was Niv'eles B'shas Kronois. If the incident happened at a time where there were wagons coming through, and it could have been one of the people from those groups that violated her, and the majority of those wagons, of those kronos, of that sia, or kosher, then she's ksheira lukuna. Aval pirish echod mitzipuri. But in the event that we have, without any shadow of a doubt, knowledge that the person that did znus with her actually was from the townspeople, was from Tzipuri, and not one of the people in the group coming on these wagons, in which case you only have one roiv, and Ubal, and he was the one that did this beer with her, did znus with her, and violated her, in that case you only have a single roiv, and then she isn't the... She is not kosher lekohuna, and Havlad Shtuki, the child, is got the status of a Shtuki, and it's not only the child. The Mefarshim ask, it's the mother itself, the girl herself, will have the status of somebody who is posel lekohuna. Says the Gemara, that we also find this opinion that you need a double roiv in order to keep her status quo that she's kosher lekohuna, ki hadachi also Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, he said, Omar Zeiri, Omar of Chanina. That Zeiri said in the name of Rav Chanina. But Omri la others suggest it was nothing to do with Rav Dimi saying this. It was just simply Omar Zeiri, Omar of Chanina. Zeiri said in the name of Rav Chanina. Hoylchin acharoiv ho'ir lehachshir. Ve'ein hoylchin acharoiv sia. Those were the words that Rav Chanina said. That if you have a majority of the city, then it's kosher. But if you have the majority of the wagons coming through, then you do not follow the majority. And we have to understand this. Klapelai. Like, what direction is this going? Let's try and understand this statement of Rav Chanina. Hani naidi v'hani kviya v'kaima. The opposite seems to be true. We have a rule, and we're going to learn about this rule soon. And let's try and just understand it before we see it inside. There's a concept called kol deporish miruba porish. And there's a concept called kol kavua kemechtze al mechtze domi. What does that mean? In simple terms, it means that any time where something was separated from a group, that means something came from some place and we don't know where this place is. We don't know the exact identity of the place that this came from. For example, you find a piece of meat in the street, and this meat was probably bought from one of the stores in the street here in the area, and then we know there's a majority of the stores are kosher. Can we assume that this piece of meat came from a kosher store? So something that was porish, it was separated already. That means when I first have a question about this meat, where did it come from? It was not in the store. It was already outside. Then we say miruba porish. It probably came from one of the shops that make up the majority. However, kol kavua, if the thing we have a suffix about is still fixed, for example, I went into a shop and took the meat, and I don't remember which shop I went to, just because there's more kosher shops, that doesn't mean that I probably went into a kosher shop. The person's not supposed to be so influenced by how many things are around him, by advertising. I went into a store, I could have gone into the kosher store in exactly the same token as I could have gone into the non-kosher store. That's how the Chidor explains this. Kol kavua, when it's kavua, when the suffix started and the doubt started, when it was taken from the place, it was still in the place of its base, its kvius, then it's kemechtze al mechtze. It's as if it's 50-50. It could have been a kosher shop as well as a not kosher shop. So here as well, we've got the same story here. That the question is, if a person came, when it says holchin acharoiv ha'ir, ve'ein holchin acharoiv hasia, and we have to understand this. The Gemara is asking a question, that how are we going to understand this? This Sia, where it says Ein Holchin Acharoiv Sia, which means that the majority of the people of the group in the wagons are irrelevant. The fact that there's a roiv kosher in the Sia does not help us determine that the woman is kosher. Well, let's understand that. You said a few words earlier that we do follow the people in the city. Well, let's see. Hani Naidi, the people in the wagons, the people that are traveling, they are in transit. They are traveling. Vahani, the people in the city are kviya v'kaima, are in their place. So if so, it would make sense to be exactly the opposite. We know that kol kavua kemechza al mechza. So I would have thought that the majority of the city, where the people are in their kvias, there we should say that we're not impressed with roiv because it's kavua. Each person lives in his house, and she went into one of the homes and did znus there. Then we'll soon discuss if she went into one of the homes or if one of the people came out of their homes. But if she went to the place of the kvias, then it would make sense that it's kavua kemechza al mechza. It's 50-50. We shouldn't be impressed with the majority. However, the people in transit, they are not in their mokim kvias. They've been taken, they've removed from their kvias. It's porish and called a porish, miruba porish. So it would make more sense to say that by the siyah, by the group of people in transit, in the kroinis, in the wagons, we do follow the roiv. And the people in the city, we don't follow the roiv. And it's exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Chanina said. The holchin achar roiv ha'ir, v'ein holchin achar roiv ha'siyah. Elo says the Gemara, holchin achar roiv ha'ir, v'hu de'ika roiv siyah b'hado. We do follow the majority of the city. When do we follow the majority of the city? That's what Rabbi Chanina said, holchin achar roiv ha'ir. When do we follow the roiv of the city? Only if you've got a double roiv. If besides for the roiv of the city, you've also got the roiv of the siyah. V'hu de'ika roiv siyah b'hado. Besides for the people in the city, you've got the groups transiting, going through the city. So you've got two sets of roiv, and therefore she's kosher. So this is, again, another opinion that says, as we said before, that if you have a double roiv, then she's kosher. V'ein holchin achar roiv ha'ir gereda. When it says that v'ein holchin achar roiv siya, what does that mean? It means if either you only have a majority of the groups, or you only have a majority of the city, if you only have one roiv, then we do not follow the chazaka. V'ein holchin achar roiv ha'ir gereda, v'loy achar roiv siya gereda. That means you only follow the roiv when you have two roivs. If you have one roiv, you do not follow the roiv to say that it's kosher. What would be a case where you have a roiv haseya and you don't have the roiv of the city? For example, if the incident happened far away from the city, and there was no reason to believe that the incident happened by somebody from the city. The incident just happened by somebody that was passing by, that was in the caravans, that was in these wagons. And if it was somebody from there, if we can take it for granted that the person that violated this girl was somebody who came from the Sia, then the fact that most of the Sia are kosher would not help us because you only have a single roiv. It would have to be in the town or close to the town and the people are passing by. You've got a double roiv. If you have a double roiv, then it's kosher. And now the Gemara asks, "My Tama, why should we not follow roiv Sia? If she's got this, she was violated by somebody who came from this group, we know it was from this group, and we know the majority of this group are kosher, why isn't she kosher?" Says the Gemara, Gzeira roiv siyah otu roiv ha'ir. Even though the siyah, the people in transit, are always considered porush. If it's porush, then we say it's called a porush, meruba porush, indeed you would follow the roiv. However, the city is kavua. And by kavua, we just said, kol kavua kemechza al mechza, we're not impressed by the majority. And if you're going to follow roiv on the group of people in the kroinos, in the wagons, you maybe come to follow the majority in the cities. And we don't want that. And therefore, we say that you don't follow roiv even by the siyah, even by the group. Says the Gemara, v'roiv ha'ir nami. Let's try and go a little bit deeper into this. In the city as well, when somebody violated her, why is it called kavua? Is it not porish? This person separated himself from the rest of the people in the town and went and did whatever he did with this girl. So why is that not Porosh? Why don't we say that if we have to understand and determine this person who came out of where he was and did an Avera with this girl, was he from the majority or from the minority? We say called the Porosh Maruba Porosh. Why are you assuming the city is considered a Kavua? Says the Gemara, in the city it depends what happened. Either Ka'ozli Inhu Legaba. If the people, if the person who violated her went to her and did Davera, indeed he was Porish, then called the Porish Meruba Porish. Since they came out of their homes, out of their place of Kvius, and went to her, indeed we would use Roiv. The problem is, and this is what we're afraid of, what would be in an incident where she went to into the home of somebody in the city? To have a lake of wife. She, if the girl went and visited the home of somebody in the city, then it's called Kavua. So really, only in the city, if she went into the homes of one of the people, that's the real issue. That is where you have, we cannot say roiv, because kol kavua kamechza al mechza. And therefore, we don't let her even rely on roiv, even when he went to her. And in order not to get confused, then we say that even in a town, any place, even if he came to her, we cannot use roiv. You need in addition to that, also the roiv of the siyah. Of the group. And you don't want to rely on the group on its own, because then maybe you'll rely on the roiv in the city on its own. And therefore, you need two roivs, also the city, also the group, and then we can be comfortable and say that you can follow the roiv. Says the Gemara, mi ba'inon tre rube. This whole concept that we just said now, that when there's a double majority, in that case, and only in that case, we follow the chazaka, and we allow her to determine that she's kosher. V'otanya, this seems to contradict a brisa. Teisha chanuyos, we mentioned this before. If you have 9 stores, kulon moichreis basar shchuto, they all sell shechted meat, kosher meat. V'achas moichreis basar nevela, and there's one shop that sells nevela, which is an animal that was not shechted. V'lokach me'achas men, he went into a shop and took some meat from one of them. V'eino yodea me'eze men lokach, and he doesn't know from which one he took the meat. Then sveikei osor, since he took the meat from its kvius, we say that if it's a sofik, we don't follow the roiv, because kol kavua kamechza al mechza. However, benimto, if you find the meat in the street outside the shops, then you just find it, then then it's porosh. Then the time you have the question, what's the status of this meat? The meat's already not in the shop. And now you have a discussion. Where did the meat come from? It probably came from the majority. There you follow the roiv. So here you see that even though you've only got one roiv, you follow the roiv. You don't need two roivs. The chitema, are you going to say that even there, b'she'ein dalsois medina ne'ulois? Is it talking about that the gates of the city are not locked? And if the gates of the city are not locked, and there's many other people that are coming through it, the ka'osi la ruba me'alma, that you've got people from the whole world who are passing through the city, and then you've got a double roiv, you've got most of the shops are kosher, and also the majority of this group are butchers, or people who are bringing in kosher meat, or that most of the butchers in the country are Yisraelim, have kosher meat. And here you've got two roivs. You've got roiv, most of the shops in the town are kosher, and most of the people who are traveling through the town have the kosher meat. You've got a double chazaka, a double roiv. If you have a double roiv, then you say that it's kosher, because the roiv, the two roivs, both say it's kosher. Are you going to suggest that's why over there it's kosher, and then it conforms with what we're saying, you need two roivs? Says the Gemara, no. Reb Zeira said that brisa that speaks about the shops, as even if there's nobody coming in from outside the town, and therefore you're only relying on the shops. If it's porosh, it's meruba porosh, and it's kosher, even though you only have one roiv. Roiv chanuyos that are selling basar shchuta. And we've said before that you need two roivs. Answers the Gemara, Maila osu b'yuchson. We saw this before already on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. There's a concept that regarding yichus, regarding being allowed to marry into the very important tribe of Kahuna, there we make special precautions to make sure that everything should be guaranteed okay to the nth degree. So normally one roiv is enough. In the case of Yuchsin over here, can this girl marry a Kohen or not marry a Kohen? There we're more careful and you need two roivs. And now we're going to discuss this concept of Reb Zeira of Kol Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza. Gufa Omer Reb Zeira. Kol Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza. Domi, when something was taken from its kvios, then we're not impressed whether there is a majority. It's always Sofik, it's 50-50. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Says Reb Zeira that this concept of 50-50 is Lekula and Lechumra. Which means even if it's going to be a leniency or if it's going to be a stringency. We'll soon see exactly what that means. Mino leilu Reb Zeira ha. Where do we find, where did Reb Zeira see this? Is there any Mishnah, is there any Braisa that tells us this? I leima, are you going to suggest, is from the Braisa we just saw now. Miteisha chanuya is kula moichris basa shchuta. You have 9 shops selling kosher meat. Ve'achas basa nevela, and one of them selling nevela, which is trefa meat. Ve'lokach me'achas men, and he took it from one of them. Ve'eino yodea me'ezim em lokach. He took it from a kvios, and he doesn't know which one he took it from. Then we said before, sveika is asr. Then it's kol kavua kemechza al mechza. It's like 50-50, and it's asr. Ubenimto, however, if you found it in the street or outside the shops, then holachach haroiv, we say called the porridge, meruba porridge, and they follow the roiv. So what do we see from there? Over there we see clearly that kol kavua is kemechza al mechza. Because you said there that if you took it from one of the shops, then it's sfeika is osur. Even though most of the shops are kosher, it's a sofik 50-50 and it's osur. Says the Gemara, of course, that's a very good source, but l'chumra. Over there we find that most of the shops are kosher, one of them is trefa. We say that because it's kavua, we say mechza al mechza, and we're stringent, and we're machmir, and we say that it's osur. Hasam l'chumra. But where do we find the concept of kol kavua, that the fact that it's 50-50 and not a majority is actually makes a leniency? Because Reb Zeira said, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Elo, we're going to try a different source. This is a Tisefta, Miteisha Tzfardim. If you have a Tzfardea, which is often translated as a frog, it's not so clear, but if you have 9 Tzfardim, Vesheretz Echot Benem, and with them in the group of the Tzfardim, and they're all dead, and you also have a Sheretz, for example, a Tzav, which is similar to Tzfardea, is, and the Sheretz has a special tumah. There's a parash in the Torah where there's 8 shrotzim, where they, when the shrotzim are dead, they have a more stringent type of tumah on a person who touches it. So what happens if you have a pile of 9 frogs, 9 tzfaradim, and 1 sheretz? V'noga be'echot men, he touched one of the 10, and ve'eino yodea be'ezem em noga, he doesn't know which one. Then sveikoi is tomei. We know that in Roshus HaYochid, in a private, in a secluded place, in a private place, in Roshus HaYochid, Sofik Tumah Roshus HaYochid is Tomei. And over here, it's the Sofik is Tomei. Why do you have a Sofik? Why don't you follow the Roiv? Roiv are not Sheretz. Roiv of them are Tzfardea. They do not have Tumas Sheretz. Why do you say Sveikoi Tomei? Because it's Mechza al Mechza. We disregard the fact that there's a majority. And we say it's as if it's 50-50, and it's a regular sofik, and a sofik is tomei. So you see, kol kavua, kemechza al mechza. Says the Gemara, fine and wonderful, but hosam nami l'chumra, there again it's a stringency. We're looking for a source that you use the rule of kol kavua, kemechza al mechza, as a leniency. Elo, miteisha shrotzim. If you have 9 shrotzim, 9 of these 10 are actually shrotzim, v'tzfardea echod, and one of them is a tzfardea, Beneem is between them, and only this 1 out of 10, the Tzfardea, does not have the Tumas Sheretz. V'noga be'echod mem, he touches one of them, and he doesn't know, ve'inu yodea be'ezem mem noga, he doesn't know which one he touched. B'shus ha'yochid, sveikoi tomei. If it's in Roshus ha'yochid, then we say that it's Sofik, it's 50-50, and Sofik Tumah B'Roshus ha'yochid is v'machmir. B'Roshus ha'rabim, Sveikoi Toir. However, we know that when there's a Sofik Tumah B'Roshus HaRabim, then the halacha is Lekula. That's always the rule. 50-50 in Roshus HaRiochid, we're stringent. 50-50 in Roshus HaRabim, then we're Mekel. We're lenient. Over here, if you had this pile in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim where 90% was Sheretz, was had the Tumas Shrotzim, and only 10% at Tzvardei Echod was kosher, then we say in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Toyer. Why is it Toyer? You've got a majority that says it's Tomei. We say no. Kol kavua kamechza al mechza, because it's in the kvios. You didn't take it, the suffix wasn't after you removed it. You touched it when it was in the pile. It was in its mokim kavua, and if it's in its mokim kavua, it's 50-50. Once it's 50-50, then in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the halacha is suffix tuma Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is toher. So you see that we use this rule leniently here with suffix tuma. Sveikei toher. Says the Gemara. Okay. So we've now found sources for Abzeira from Torah Shebal Peh, from Brisas. Umidaraisa minolon, with the concept of kol kavua kamechza al mechza, where's that anchored in the Chumash, in the Torah? Omar Kroy says in the Pasuk, v'orav loy v'komolov. What does it say in the Pasuk? V'chiyye ish soyne. If a person has an enemy, l're'eyu, hates his friend, his enemy, v'orav loy, and he ambushes him, v'komolov, v'hiko, and he raises on him and hits him, v'hiko nofesh, and he kills him, v'meis, he dies, v'nos elachas ha'orim ha'el, and he tries to run away to one of the cities where murderers who killed somebody by mistake run away to, then it doesn't help. They'll go in there, they'll take him out, they'll take him to Beis Din, and they'll judge him because he murdered his friend. The question is, why do we need the words v'orav lo, and he ambushed him? Just say, if somebody killed his friend, he's a murderer, he's going to get punished accordingly. What's the v'orav lo, the extra words that he ambushed him? V'orav lo v'komolov. So, ad she iskavin lo. This is the opinion of Reb Shimon. The Reb Shimon says that you're only chayav if you actually intended to kill that person. If you intended to kill that person, that if you had two Yisraelim who were standing next to each other, and you planned to kill Reuven, and you end up killing Shimon, then and he got Asra, and they warned him, and he accepted. He says, in spite of the fact that you're warning me, I'm still going to kill him. And he tried to then kill Reuven, and he ended up killing Shimon. He's going to be potter, because he didn't kill the one who he actually ambushed. He tried, he ambushed Reuven, he ended up killing Shimon. That is what Reb Shimon holds. V'rabbonon Omri. The Rabbonon argue and say, V'omri deber of Yanai, prat. It means the Rabbonon who say that Niskavin Lahari Gezeh, V'hora Gezeh, Yochayev, what's the V'orav Loi? What is the extra words that you ambushed him coming to teach us? Prat L'Zayrik Evan L'Goy. If you had a group of people, some of them were Goyim, some of them were Yidden, and you threw a stone into them, and you didn't intend to kill a Yisrael as well, at all. You just intended to kill anyone there. You had no intentions to kill a Yisrael, and you end up killing the Yisrael, then you're going to be potter because it wasn't Orav Loi. You didn't ambush the Yisrael. That means, according to Reb Shimon, the first Tana mentioned here, that if you niskavin lahari gezeh, v'hora gezeh, he wanted to kill one, he killed the other one, then he's potter. According to the Rabbonon, they say niskavin lahari gezeh, v'hora gezeh, yochayev, you're only potter when you didn't want to kill, you didn't have explicit intentions to kill any Yisrael, then your potter. Asks the Gemara, says the Braisa, hey chedomi, these Rabbonon that say niskavin lahari gezeh v'hora gezeh yochayev, but if you throw a stone into a group of people, then since some of them are goyim, some of them are yidden, it's not called that you intended to kill the Yisrael, and your potter. Hey chedomi, let's try and understand what's the exact case. If 9 of the 10 people standing in that group were goyim, and one of them were Yisrael, if you're going to say that's the case, why do I need a special pasuk to say v'orav loy, that you only chayiv if you wanted to kill the Yisrael, and since over here you didn't want to kill the Yisrael, therefore your potter? I don't need that pasuk. Just say that since the 9 out of 10 are goyim, then we follow the roiv, and it's as if I wanted to kill a goy, and therefore I'm potter. Why do I need the extra words of orav loy if I can use the roiv? Inna mi palgo palga. Even if you're going to say that it was 50-50, and I threw a stone into them, well, it's 50-50 if I was aiming at Yisrael or at a goy. And even if it's 50-50, you don't kill the murderer. Sofik nefashos lehokil. Before meting the death penalty to somebody who deserves it, it's got to be, if it's a sofik, if there's any doubt, you're not going to kill him. So if it's 50-50, and you don't know if you can assume that it's just 50-50, and therefore it's a sofik. It's a doubt. Did I intend the Yisrael? Did I intend the goy? So also I'll be potter. Why do I need the words for orav loy? Answers the Gemara, loy tzricha. I'll give you a case and explain to you why or when we need a posuk that says v'orav loy, that you're only going to be chayev if you intended him. You intended to ambush him on some level, according to the Chachomim. They say that niskavin lahari gezeh v'ora gezeh, if you intended a Yisrael, you killed a different Yisrael, you'll be chayev. But over here, we need this posuk to tell us that if you didn't specifically intend a Yisrael, if it was 50% chance that you actually intended by throwing the stone into the group, you so to speak intended, well, you may have intended the goy as well. How would that be? De'ikat teisha Yisraelim uknani echod b'neim. What happens if you have 9 Yisraelim there? 9 out of 10 were Yidden, and one of them was a goy, and he threw a stone. Can we not say there's a roiv? And if there's a roiv, then it's as if he intended to kill a Yisrael. Niskavin laharigazev oragazev, according to the Chachomim, is chayev. Now, here we see that he's potter, v'orav loy. He's potter. Why is he potter? We need a posuk for this case. Why do I need a posuk in this case? Why should he be potter? What happened to roiv? The answer is you don't say roiv. Why don't you say roiv? If most of them are Yisraelim and one of them, there's only one goy who's not a yid, to have a lekanani kavua, because the goy is kavua. And since he's kavua, v'chol kavua, kamechta al mechta domi. So having 9 Yisraelim and one goy, it's exactly like having half 5 Yisraelim and 5 goyim. It's 50%. If it's 50%, then it's not considered as if you intended a Yisrael, because maybe you intended the goy. And therefore, that is what the pasuk of Orav Loi is telling us, that in that case, you're potter. You're not going to be held, you're not going to be killed for being a murderer. So you see here clearly that even though the Kenani, the goy, is just one, we consider him as 50%. And this is the proof that kol kavua kemechta al mechta. So at least according to the Rabbanon, we have a pasuk that teaches us kol kavua kemechta al mechta. And now we're going back to the incident in the Mishnah that we started with. It's merabchia barashi omar rav halocha k'Rabbi Yosi. The Rav says that halocha is like Rabbi Yosi that said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that if most of the people in the town are Yisrael, are kosher l'kohuna, then this girl is mutter to marry a kohen. Rav Chanan bar Rava omar Rav, however, Rav Chanan bar Rava said also in the name of Rav, hoiras shor hoisa, that ruling that she can marry a kohen, that was just a unique case. It was just for that time, for whatever reason that we don't know, there was a hoiras shor that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said she's kosher l'kohuna. But in every other case, you need to have 2 roivs. That means in the Mishnah, it doesn't seem that there's 2 roivs. Rabbi Yosi just said, "Ma'isa b'tenoikas sheyorod olamalis ma'im min ayon v'nenso." Omer Bichnon Benuri im roivan shoir masim lekohuna. So the basic reading of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi holds 1 roiv is enough, and Rav says that loch is like Rabbi Yosi, that the roiv of the town is enough. Rav Chanan Barova says no. Normally you need 2 roivs. But over here, there was a special reason that they were lenient and they relied on 1 roiv. Asks the Gemara, Mosiv of Yirmia. Rav Yirmia asked a question. Ula yuchsin lo yiba'in on trei rubi? Did we not learn that when it comes to yuchsin, when it comes to being allowed, to determining whether she's allowed to marry a kohen, you need 2 roivs? Votnan, did we not learn in a Mishnah? Motza bo tinoik mushlach. If you found a child those on the streets, we don't know who the father of this child is. We don't know who this child is. Im roiv oivdei kechovim. If it's a place where most of the people in the city are goyim, oivdei kechovim. We assume that this child is a goy. Im roiv Yisrael. If most of the people in the city are a Yisrael, the Yisrael. Then we say that this child is a yid. Mechza al mechza. If in the city is exactly 50-50, half of the city are goyim, half of the city are Yisraelim, then Yisrael, then we say that this child is considered a Yisrael. V'omar Rav. Rav commented on that Mishnah. Lo yishonu, when do we say that if there's a Roiv Yisroel, then he has the status of a Yisroel? Elo l'achyesoi. It just means that Beis Din have to sustain him, they have to give him food, they have to keep him alive. Aval lo yuchsin. However, in the case of yuchsin, if you only have one Roiv Yisroel, loy. So you want to know, is this child considered a Yisroel kosher? And this child, this girl can marry a Kohen? There we say no. Rav said that for Yuchsin, you need two Roivs. So how can Rav say that Loch HaZak Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, that one Roiv is enough and she can marry Lukahuna? Here we see that Rav says explicitly that if Roiv are Yisroel, then this girl that was found in the street is a Yisrael, but not regarding Yuchsin. She cannot marry a Kohen. Shmuel argues with Rav here, and Shmuel doesn't argue, he adds on Rav and says, Shmuel Omar, lefakeh cholobes hagal, you're also even allowed to, on Shabbos, if a building of a pile of stones fell on this child and you want to save her life, then you're allowed to, even though normally on Shabbos you're not allowed to move a pile of stones, but in order to save the life of this girl, then you're allowed to save the life of this girl as if it was a Yisrael. If this girl was a Goy, you wouldn't be allowed to be mefakeach as a girl to remove the pile of stones. But we say that she's also considered a Yisrael regarding lefakeach as a girl. But either way, we see from here, according to Rav, leyuchsin, you don't follow one Roiv. So how can Rav say before that we follow Roiv in the city? Answers the Gemara, ishtemitze ha'od omer v'yudah marav. Do you not remember that Rav said before regarding the Mishnah, Bikronis shel Tzipuri have a Maisa? That over there, it wasn't just a regular city with just one Roiv, there were two Roivs because there was a group of people in the Kronis that were traveling through near the city, and therefore in this incident in the Mishnah, there were two Roivs. And indeed, since there were two Roivs, therefore she's kosher. That is how the Gemara is answering Rav. Says the Gemara, Ulur of Chonon Barova. Now that we say that Rav says that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that you need two roivs. Before we understood that Rav at the bottom of Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, who said Rav said Itmar Chia Barashi Omar Rav says halacha like Rabbi Yossi. We thought it means that you follow one roiv. Rav Chonon Barova said in the name of Rav that was Oyeras Shah. Normally you need two roivs. Now that we're saying that Rav holds that you need two roivs, then Rav Chonon Barova Omar Rav says Oyeras Shah, that you only needed two roivs for a specific reason that the Gemara doesn't disclose, but everywhere else, one roiv is enough. We have to understand that. Rav Chonon Barova de Omar Hiras Shah Isa Kashiha. Then we have a question. How can you say over there that it was only a Hiras Shah that you need to have two roivs, and normally one roiv is enough? You see here from the case of Motzah Tinoik Mushlach, that regarding Yuchsin, one roiv is not enough. Answers the Gemara, Manda Masniha, Loi Masniha. If you say it's Hiras Shah, that means that this, the Rav Chonon Barova, who said it was Hiras Shah, he understood that the Mishnah was not talking about two roivs. He understood the Mishnah was talking about one roiv. He didn't say that there were Kroinos Shel Tzipuri that were going through the city. And therefore, he says there it was one roiv and it was only Hiras Shah. And the one who says, the quote that says, or the statement that said, Kronos Shel Tzipuri, that there were two roivs, if it was two roivs, then it wasn't Hiras Shah. We always rely on two roivs for Yuchsin. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, and we're going back to this Mishnah that we just quoted. Motzah Batinoik Mushlach, if you found in the city this child that was just deserted, that was just rejected, and you don't know the nature of this child, the status of the child, is it Yisrael or a Goy? Im Roiv Ovdei Kechovim, Ovid Kechovim. We saw that if most of the people are Goyim, then the status is a Goy. Im Roiv Yisrael, Yisrael, if most of the people are Yisraelim, then this child is Yisrael. Mechtzal Mechtz, if it's 50-50, then it has the status of Yisrael, and we already said before that Rav said that it's Roiv Yisrael, Yisrael is regarding Lahachyosoi, is regarding keeping him alive, and Shmuel said also Lufakeach es Hagal. Omar Rav said Loishanu Elo Lahachyosoi, Aval Yuchsin Loi, Ushmuel Omar Lufakeach Olav es Hagal, as we saw before. Asks the Gemara, Mi Amar Shmuel Hachid, does Shmuel say that you need to have Rov Yisrael in order to be allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos to save the child? But if it was Rov Akum, then Akum, regarding the Fakech Sagal to save the child from under a pile of stones, V'Amar Rav Yosef, V'Amar Rav Yehuda, Mashmuel, Ein Holchin B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar Arayv. If there's a risk of danger, we don't follow the majority. Even if there's a minority chance that this child is Yisrael, it would be enough reason to be Mechal Shabbos, to override the halachas of Shabbos, and to save the child. So how can Shmuel say, Af lefakeach es hagal, that by Rov Yisrael, you're allowed to try and save the child, even if it's Rov Goyim, you're allowed to save the child because it's Pikuach Nefesh. Eloki etmar de Shmuel, when Shmuel was speaking that you're allowed to be mefakeach es hagal, it wasn't a continuation of Rav, that Rav who said that Rov Yisrael is as far as Lachyosa is concerned, but not Lagabe Yuchsin, and Shmuel was commenting on the same case to say that you can be mefakeach es hagal. No, when Shmuel Omer lefakeach es hagal is going back on the case where it was Rov Goyim. If most of the people in the city are Goyim, this child is considered a Goy. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, but since there's a minority chance that it's a Yisrael, and even if it's Rov Goyim, Rov Akum, if it comes to Pikuach Nefesh to save her life, then you're allowed to even be Mechal Shabbos, and we don't say that they have the status of a Goy. Continues the Gemara. Im roiv oivdei kechovim, oivdei kechovim, lemai helchasa. Now we're going back to the statement in the Mishnah before that this child, if was found in a city where most of the people are goyim, then it has the child has the status of a goy. Lemai helchasa. What relevance would that have that the child has the status of a goy? Omer of Papa lachiloi nevelus, to actually feed him with nevelus, with tray for food. You're allowed to feed him tray for food. Then the answer is, only if most of the people in the city are goyim, you're allowed to feed him tray for food. Because then it has the halacha of a goy. Continues the Gemara, Im roiv Yisrael, Yisrael. If most of the people are in the city are Yisraelim, then the child has the status of Yisrael. L'may hilchasa. Then regarding what's the relevance, what's the halachic manifestation of that? Because if you're going to say that you're not allowed to feed him nevelos, well, we just saw that in order to be allowed to feed him nevelos, you need a roiv akum. If it's 50-50, then you're already not allowed to feed them nevelos, even if it's just 50%. And if at 50-50 you're not allowed to feed nevelos, then of course, if it's roiv Yisrael, you're not allowed to feed nevelos. So what is now the relevance of the fact that it's a Rov Yisrael is Yisrael. So of course we could have said, like we saw before from Rav, that Lach Yosei, that you have to sustain him, you have to give him his parnosa. But no, Tosfos discusses why the Gemara didn't answer that, but Omer of Papa says, Lahachzer lo Aveda. We know that to give back an Aveda, if a lost property, you're not allowed to give it back to a Goy. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin some not good things of somebody who gives an Aveda, lost property, back to a Goy. So we hear that once, if you've got Rov Yisrael, it's the status of Yisrael, and you're allowed to give back the Naveda, a lost item. Says the Gemara, Mechtze al Mechtze Yisrael. When the Mishnah finishes off saying that if it's 50-50, then the child has the status of Yisrael, L'may Hilchasa, then regarding which halacha is this referring to? Omer Shlokish L'Nizokin. Then when it comes to nezokin, to damages, then according to Rish Lakish, the mechza al mechza has relevance here. The fact that it's 50-50, that he's a goy, that he has the status of Yisrael, has relevance. Hey chadomi, let's try and understand the case. Now what's the halachas? If an animal of a Yisrael, if an ox of a Yisrael gored an ox of a goy, he's exempt, he's potter to pay. If an ox of a goy gored and killed the animal of a Yisrael, he has to pay for the whole animal. If an ox of a Yisrael killed the animal of another Yisrael, then it depends. If it's a Shoir Tam, if it's a relatively tame ox, if it hasn't happened three times, you pay for half of the damages. If it's a Muad, if it's already an animal that has a status of an animal that gores, then you have to pay the full thing. So Gemara is saying now, The Torah today, if an ox of a Yisrael gored an ox of this person, that this child that was found in a city which was 50-50, then why do you say it has the status of a Yisrael? And that would mean that you have to pay for the animal, either half or full, depending on the status of the animal that gored. Why can't the owner of the animal that gored the other animal say, I see Raya Yisrael out? Bring me proof that you're Yisrael. V'shkoil, at the moment it's 50-50. Why should I pay you? I don't need to pay you anything. Says the Gemara, Loi. No, you're right. Srich, I'll tell you when you need it. What happens if this person's ox gored an ox of a Yisrael? So half in any case you have to pay, whichever way you hold it. If it's Yisrael, if he's got the status of Yisrael, you have to pay half. If he's got the status of a goy, he has to pay the whole thing. So first pay half. Palga Meshalim. V'idach Palga, the other half, Omer Luhu, this child that was found, can say to the owner of the animal that got gored and say, listen, it's 50-50. Bring proof. I Sarai Delav Yisrael, or bring proof that I'm a goy. V'etin Lachin. And then I'll pay you for the second half. But at this point, you can't prove I'm a goy. Maybe I'm Yisrael. If I'm Yisrael, by Shoyr Tam, you only pay half. I'm only paying half. That's what it means. Mechtz al mechtz. If it's 50-50, he has the status of Yisrael. And you cannot give him the stringencies of a goy to have to pay for the whole animal till you can prove that he's a goy. Hadron aloch basula nisus, besyata deshmai. We finished the first perik of Ksubus, perik basulas nisus. In Mirat Hashem, we're going to do revision, we're going to do chazara on this perik. And in Mirat Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next perik.